Hey everybody, Adam here. Welcome to another episode of Come Get Your Podcast. I'm coming at you before the episode starts because I wanted to let you guys know now this is a very, very Destiny 2 centric episode. Like, the vast majority of this episode is about Destiny 2. So if you're not into it, that's completely fine. I'd suggest listening the first half hour or so, and then you can maybe come back another episode, or you can listen to the whole thing, which is what I'd suggest, ultimately. But it's really up to you. Either way, thanks for listening, and yeah, let's get into it. Ambulances go by my house. Hello. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Not bad.
Welcome to episode 8 of Come Get Your Podcast. As always, I am your host, Adam.
I am your second host, Dustin.
And I am your third host, Chris.
How are we doing today, by the way?
I'm tired this morning.
I am also tired.
Yeah, you somebody guys are really early birds,
somebody,
right?
Somebody made us get up early.
You know,
we had a late night of raiding and yeah. Destiny 2, which really wasn't that late for a Saturday. It was like 11 when we stopped, right?
Yeah,
it was. We didn't even hit Sunday yet, so
I don't know. I don't know why I was so tired. Like I was just having a tough time. I was all nice and comfy in my bed.
That's it. That's it right there.
Yeah, that's actually probably the main culprit. Also, I only had like 6 hours of sleep the night before, so I was tired coming off of that. But
well, yeah, and you have to realize that last night we jumped on and at least started playing around at like 6, if not a little bit sooner. So there was a good 6 to 7 hours of being in the game, even though we weren't raiding that entire time. So.
Yeah, we didn't start raiding until like 6:30. So, I mean, that was like good 5 hours of raiding.
Yeah, and I had been playing since about 3. So.
That'll do it.
Yep, that'll be
that'll
it.
That'll definitely do it.
It's the one thing, troubling thing, because currently my setup in my bedroom is we have our, Misty and I have our main TV on the wall, and then she was like, well, I want to, last weekend, she's like, I want to hang out, like, I know you want to game, play Destiny, but can we just, like, hang out together and just bring the TV inside the room while I play Stardew Valley on the big TV? Well, she didn't say that, so I insisted she play it on the big TV, mainly because I didn't want to reset up PlayStations and move shit around. I put a television on a folding chair next to our bed.
Yes.
So we can both lay in bed and game at the same time, and that caused me to get tired yesterday. So it's a very first world problem.
Understanding that now, yeah, I can see why you'd get tired pretty quick.
It's on me because I'm too lazy to move my PlayStation back into my office.
I think you're missing one important caveat here, though.
What's that?
You're an old man now.
That's true. I am achy. I am tired because I celebrated my 30th birthday a week and a half ago now, and everything hurts and I'm dying.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly how it happens. You hit 30 and your body just says, oh, fuck you. And everything falls apart.
We're done here.
Yeah. Have you started getting AARP cards yet in the mail?
No, but I was given a 60-cent coffee at McDonald's the other day.
Oh my gosh. That's the sign of times when you go to McDonald's at 5 to 6 in the morning just for a coffee, you're an old man.
Take one senior coffee, please.
Also, the fact that we were just talking about the fact that we played until 11:30 last night and we all just were like, nah, I'm going to bed. I'm going to bed right now. Yeah, remember when we used to play until 2 or 3 in the morning? Now it's like, man, I gotta get up tomorrow. I got stuff to do.
Gotta record. Gotta record. Come get your podcast with your friends.
Well, that's just like with the Destiny 2 launch. Like Carlos is like, I'm gonna stay up and play. And I'm like, you're crazy.
I'm gonna see you in the morning.
I'm gonna wake up at like 7 and play.
What's really funny about that is that I ended up staying up with Carlos to do it because it started at like 11 o'clock. So it was Jeff, myself, and Carlos that stayed up on the launch just wanted to see what it looked like. And Carlos had forgotten to leave his PlayStation on to install the game. So
oh God.
Once Jeff and I got into the servers, we just started playing the game. And then by the time Carlos got in, Jeff and I were like, yeah, we're going to bed. So he stayed up. Move. He stayed up, talked to us in the chat. And then Jeff and I were like, yeah, we played like the first two missions. We're gonna go to bed. It's like,
we're gonna hop off.
It's like 12:30 in the morning. We'll be back tomorrow. So he stayed up to miss out on that, so that was nice.
I'll say you guys did a relatively smart thing, I guess, and took most of that week off to play.
Yeah, I mean, I had taken the week off prior, but chances are I would have had to been forced to take that week off anyway. So
you had a very, very bad, was it a sinus infection?
Man, was it a
head cold?
I want to say it was the flu, but I didn't have like a full flu symptoms, but
just a weird virus bug.
I was it's that 30-year-old thing, man. I'm falling apart essentially, so
I'm looking forward to it. It's already begun. So
like I turned 30 and I needed to then get my gallbladder out, so
that's true. Oh shit, now I'm running on borrowed time, or my gallbladder's running on borrowed time.
But yeah, what's funny about the night at launch is that I was like, no, I'm not gonna play at night. You know, I'm going to go to sleep when I don't feel well, so I'm just going to go to bed. So I took some NyQuil, and I still woke up at like 3 in the morning because I just woke up, and I couldn't go back to sleep, so I'm like, well, fuck, I know what I'm going to do for the next like couple hours.
Well, okay.
I mean, if you're going to force me to do this. I think my mind is like, it's like you're forcing me to go to sleep right now, and I can't stop that, but the minute I can force you to wake up, it's fucking going to happen.
I'm just going to warn you right now, every fart after 30... is just fucking oatmeal.
You don't want to tell me.
It's just oatmeal at this point.
It's a risky fart. Every fart.
Every time. So.
I mean, should I start manponning? Is that what you're suggesting?
What is funny yesterday before we started raiding is that Clark had mentioned something of like, oh, my stomach just made a weird noise. And then like minutes later, you're just like something happened. You're like, oh, okay, we're back. And it's like, we're all like, he's shitting.
We were all doing different activities, and I think I was playing PvP by myself while we were waiting for people, and I got cornered from two people, so I just started going, uh-oh. And you guys were like, are you shitting your pants?
It's like he's shitting his pants right now.
This is game related, I promise.
It's like, yeah, this is nothing I've never experienced in my day-to-day life. It's just sitting there at work doing my job, and I'm going, okay, well, this is happening right now, I gotta go. I just gotta go right now.
I figured out the culprit yesterday, too, on why my stomach was hating me. I had a great time at the DMV yesterday morning for an hour, which actually isn't bad for DMV time.
No,
and all the crap I had to do, because I had to renew my license, change address, and then I had to put a title in my name. And they all did that. Most of the time was spent sitting, waiting for my number to be called, and then once that was done, like, it was smooth sailing. So, shout out to the Belvedere DMV.
Man, yeah, yeah. You got lucky. I would have just gone off grid. Just be like, I'm out.
Forget I thought it. About it.
I'm living off the. It. I'm living off the land. I'm out of here. Forget
I work
it.
From home. I don't have to drive anywhere.
They don't. The government doesn't need to know.
I'm so lucky that most of the stuff that I need to do at the DMV, I can just do online, because I fucking hate that. But the last time I ever went to the DMV, I had to get my license full renewed, right?
Yep.
And they made me do an eye test. I went to the Auburn Street one, because that's the closest one to my house. They're like, I do an eye test, and they're like, you know how it's like, the right side's blinking, the left side's blinking. The right side's blinking, I'm like, he's like, I don't see it. He goes, what's blinking? I'm like, nothing. He goes, no, all right, I'll try again. And I tried again. I'm like, no, nothing's blinking. He goes, yeah, you're going to have to go get an eye test. There's something wrong with your eyes. So I go to the eye doctor. I get an eye test. And they're like, oh, everything's perfect. You know, you have really good vision. I'm like, what? Their fucking machine was broken. And I spent like $50 to get an eye test at like Eye Optical or wherever. I think it was wherever Misty works now. Honestly,
VisionWorks? Or what it was beforehand?
It might have been what it was beforehand.
Okay.
Because I had to get an eye test, and I'm like, all right, let's do it. And they're like, no, everything's good. You know, you're good. I'm like, yeah, just like I thought.
I also had to do an eye test yesterday, and I had to do the blinking light thing, except he had me keep my glasses on, which, you know, if you have lights coming in from the sides, it's not hitting you right, you know, it's not hitting your eyes right in the front, so it's on the on your peripheral, and the where those lights come in can refract off your glasses from the sides and just mess everything up. And I was just like, it's kind of everywhere. And he was just like, what? And I was like, I think it's because I have my glasses on, which I need my glasses for nighttime driving generally. Not really, not so much during the day, but I mean, I might as well just wear them all day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, can I take my glasses off? And he's like, but you need them for driving. And I was like, well, just at night. And he's like, oh, yeah, do that because I'm sure this is screwed up. And then it was fine. So
appreciate you have to get some of those like old man, old lady, like super thick sunglasses that cover your entire eyes.
Oh yeah, from the sides too.
Mm-hmm.
Should get those. But
the blue blockers.
Said, yeah. Everything went smoothly at the DMV. But after that, I went and got Starbucks because I was tired and needed coffee in my body. And I was giving a nice gesture to my wife by buying her some Starbucks too. So I got a couple sandwiches and I had a chorizo one, and I think that's why that's what screwed up my stomach.
Little spicy sausage.
It was good. I just don't know if it was completely cooked. I might have been part of it. Which chorizo is hard to cook.
Can I ask you a question? When you were eating that sandwich, did you think it felt like a wet dick?
No, I've never thought that once in my entire life.
Okay. That's just me.
That's just you.
Hey, you know what? I call it like I see it, right?
What?
Well, apparently you call it like you feel it.
Yeah, that's more than
I had Taco Bell breakfast yesterday, and I got one of their new naked egg taco things, and it was I took it out, and it was so damn slippery in my hand. And I was
that,
like,
"What did that? What did it feel like, Chris?"
It felt like a wet dick in my hand,
which raises infinitely more questions immediately.
Look, man, I felt if I was said like wet sausage, it would have been, you know, nice. Well, like,
I mean, why do you know what a wet dick feels like? I mean, hey, chase your bliss. It's fine. No judgment here.
So that's the end of the podcast, guys. See you later.
Bye. Thanks for coming.
And he was never seen again.
Well, speaking of Taco Bell, I have a slight issue with them.
Uh-oh.
Not really so much an issue, just questions. Standard questions, because we had an office meeting where Dustin and I were the other day, and for the at-home people, they will give you gift cards to usually a fast food place somewhere in the area just so you can get lunch on the company, because everyone in office gets a free lunch. So I got a Taco Bell gift card, went to Taco Bell because there's one right across the street, basically, got myself a $5 box, trying to win that Xbox One X. We'll see what happens. But the lady who was working the drive-thru, it's like, all right, do you want any sauce? And I blanked. I couldn't think of fire sauce for some reason. So I went, just give me whatever the hottest sauce you have is. Cool, no problem. Throws a handful in the box and hands it to me. Get home, realize that their hottest sauce is Diablo sauce, apparently, which is made with like ghost peppers or has ghost pepper in it somewhere, right? Yeah, I have a packet right in front of me. I'm reading it. Which is great for you at home audio listeners. So it's like a ghost pepper sauce. Not super hot, but tasty, so it works. And I grab in the box or get another one, and I pull out packets of ketchup.
What?
I'm going to be honest with you right now.
I have ketchup packets from Taco Bell.
I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. I didn't know Taco Bell even had ketchup.
Neither did I.
Why do they need ketchup?
Why do they have ketchup? Why do they have ketchup?
So, did you also get Diablo sauce, or was it both ketchup?
Oh, no, I had about 5-6 sauces. Over half were Diablo sauce, and then I have 2 ketchup packets.
So, I'm assuming you put one pack of Diablo sauce on one of them, and then you put ketchup on something?
God, no.
Oh, thank God.
No, I'm not a fiend. Why does Taco Bell have ketchup? What on their menu needs ketchup?
These
are the questions.
Some people some people like ketchup like on their wet dick.
Oh, tacos. Yeah.
What?
Maybe for their eggs, ketchup on eggs. That's a thing.
Yeah, maybe their breakfast. That's what I'm thinking too.
I've done that before. I put ketchup on my eggs.
I put ketchup on my eggs.
Yeah, judge me all you want. I don't give a shit. There's
nothing wrong with ketchup on eggs.
I had a one of the cheesy burrito things that they have. That was one of them. Wasn't a breakfast thing, and then two tacos.
Hey man, if we were living in Canada, you'd put ketchup on everything.
I guess so. That is their kind of thing.
Ketchup is, right? They have ketchup chips.
Yeah, that's right.
Ketchup is their thing.
I mean, I like ketchup, but I'm not going to eat ketchup chips. That's weird.
But again, I think you need to tweet at Taco Bell and ask them, take a picture of it and be like, why do you guys have ketchup?
No judgment, but why do you guys have ketchup?
Yeah, when did this happen?
What kind of world are we in? And another thing, apparently a buddy of mine was at Taco Bell the other day. This is not sponsored by Taco Bell, unless you want to sponsor Taco Bell.
Yeah, then get at us.
Live Mas, right? Anyway, he was at a Taco Bell, and the person in front of him was ordering... Okay, sorry. Now I'm reading verbatim, so we're going to cut all this out. No, but my friend was at Taco Bell. I was like, can I get a Mexican pizza with no meat or beans? Cashier goes, so you want a tortilla with cheese, tomatoes, and sauce? Patron, customer goes, yes, but do you guys have marinara sauce?
What the fuck? just go get a pizza.
To which the cashier says, no, we're Taco Bell. But we do have ketchup, apparently. So maybe that's close. Who knows?
Yeah, what are they doing? Do they think that they were at like that Taco Bell like Pizza Hut fusion place?
I was going to say, there's none of those in our city.
Not anymore, right?
No.
The closest we have is a KFC Long John Silver's.
That burned down. I think that got burned down to the ground.
That burned down.
Oh, did it?
You did. That caught fire, and I don't think they're doing anything else with it.
Man, people hate Long John Silver's.
I love Long. They have their chicken planks.
Hey, they're hush puppies. Amazing.
I love
choice.
I love.
You're both out of your mind.
I love hush puppies. Give me some fried clams.
Do you not like hush puppies?
I like hush puppies. I just do not like Long John Silver's. If I go to a KFC Long John Silver's combo, I am getting KFC 110% of the time.
Did they do something to you? Did they like steal your pension or something? Like, no. Why do you hate them?
No, I would just rather go to like a real seafood restaurant if I'm going to get seafood. I don't want fast.
Like red lobster? Like,
yeah, I don't want like fast food seafood, I guess. But their hush puppies are good.
Okay, you do realize Red Lobster is like a half step above on the echelon of where seafood restaurants
be. I mean, I get it. I know.
I mean, so granted, their cheddar biscuits are amazing.
Hey, man. One morning you should have Cheddar Bay biscuits and gravy.
No, I don't like biscuits and gravy, though.
Oh, you were out of your mind.
What?
Ooh.
What?
Ooh. Oh no, we're learning things about each other.
You know what? After this, I'm gonna get some fucking biscuits and gravy.
Yeah.
Well,
my dad abused me when I was a child. I mean, what? No, sorry.
Whoa.
It's recorded.
Those are our terms of endearment for each other. That's like him saying, like, hey, how's it going? Hey, I love you. And when me saying I love you is like, hey, when's your cancer coming back? That's just how we do it.
Jesus.
Well.
Hey, shout out to my pops. Love you, buddy.
He's a good dude. So what? Is the Bears game at noon today?
Bears game's at noon. And
correct.
I'll be there late. Like I am for most events that they have. Okay. I always show up like 20, 30 minutes late. They're expecting it.
You get through first quarter. You don't need to be there for that.
I'm getting free wings and guac and food. And
twisted tea, it sounds like.
And twisted tea.
Well, I hope they have a cooler for that twisted tea. Because if they don't, I know where you can get one. Handmade,
ooh,
too.
Ooh, where's that?
That is from our sponsor, Slumberyard Handcrafted.
Yes.
Run by our good buddy, Josh Kincaid. He did make you a cooler, didn't he, Chris?
Yes, he made me like a beer caddy that I had. He did. He made it for a contest, and I was lucky enough to win the contest, and it is pretty sweet. It's a handmade wooden beer caddy that you can put six beers, beverages in, with a built-in bottle opener and a little side piece that has like a little chalkboard on it that you could write whatever you want on it, you know?
Or you could just draw a dick on it, I mean, if you want. I mean,
dick butt.
Dick butt. That's, you know, that's always classic.
But it's really good. I showed it to a few family members and friends and people that drink a lot because they're alcoholics, and they liked it.
Well, here's the thing. We talked about it before a little bit, but like, I have my entire bed frame is made from Slumberyard, and it's amazing. I sleep in it every single night, or most nights if I'm home. If I'm not home, then who knows where I'm sleeping. But it's not something made by Slumberyard. I can tell you that. And if you want something made, you should get a hold of him at his Facebook, which is Slumberyard Handcrafted. Easy to find. Or I believe he does have a personal website, slumberyardhandcrafted.com, if I'm not mistaken.
He does.
What's really nice is that any idea that you might have, message him, reach out to him, because he does do free design sessions.
He likes getting freaky.
That too. And if you want to see more of his work, he is a big presence on Instagram. And his Instagram is at slumberyardhandcrafted. And he started doing live videos showing... And it looked nice.
It's really interesting. Like, even if you don't want something made, just like watching somebody make something with their hands out like this is insane to me. And probably because I can't do it, so it's super interesting to like watch something come together like that.
Well, and it's great with those videos that he posts. I think he does it every Tuesday night now, where you can not only watch him make something, he'll explain things to you. You can ask him questions. He talks to you.
Very interactive. It's like he's streaming woodworking, which is a weird sentence, but it works, at least for me.
Hey, I'd watch a Twitch on that.
So yeah, go to Slumberyard Handcrafted's Instagram on Tuesdays, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
I think it's still tentatively, but he just started doing it. But it sounds like it's going to be every Tuesday afternoon.
You're not going to be disappointed. He's got good stuff. And side note, not only is his work tremendous and great, but the gentleman himself, Josh Kincaid, is a fantastic person.
He's a good man. So do yourself a favor. Head on over to Slumberyard Handcrafted. See if there's something you like. Or if you have an idea, float it by Josh. And get yourself some quality handcrafted woodwork. Thank you, Slumberyard, for the sponsor. If you're listening to us on iTunes or Google Play or Podbean, it's because of this man. So thank you so much.
We love him.
We love you.
More than anything. What?
You want to know what else I love?
What's that?
Destiny.
One?
One. And now Destiny 2.
Ah.
Love it so much.
Because Destiny 2 came out.
The 6th. So 11 days ago.
11 days ago. Almost 2 weeks ago. And... like, we kind of mentioned earlier in the podcast, me and Dustin took some time off for it. Clark, you took time off, but I think it was just, like, a coincidence that Destiny 2 was at the same time.
So that's why Bungie likes putting out their games in early September. My birthday's in early September. So kind of works out sometimes on release dates. Like, Halo 2 or 3 came out on my birthday on the 7th. Destiny 2 came out the day before my birthday. I don't know if it's foolishly or if I just didn't care, but I worked on my birthday, but then took that Friday and the following Monday off. So just happened to coincide, like, yeah, it's for my birthday, but there's also like this really cool video game that just came out that I want to play with all my friends.
And I'll say, now, I have a love of Destiny, of course. We've mentioned it many times in previous podcasts, and Destiny 2 makes so many great improvements and makes the game better as a whole. Now, there are some things that are meh or could be better, but as a whole, it's tremendously leaps above Destiny 1, in my opinion.
From a launch perspective, it was everything Destiny 1 wasn't.
Yeah, it's like they took all the mistakes they made from the vanilla launch of Destiny 1 and said, okay, we heard your complaints, we understand what went wrong, we are now going to do something completely different. Like, have a campaign that makes sense and people can follow.
Yeah.
And the story
does make sense. They still don't have everything in front of you in the game. like they have more, but in order to get the whole collective of the story, you do have to kind of dig for it. Or the collector's edition came with a book that really explained more about the Cabal Empire, which are is the main enemy in the first game.
Go ahead.
And you just have to read. You really have to read the book to get the background of the Cabal, because you don't know too much about them. And there's like little like hints in Destiny 1 and the Grimoire cards and in some of the stories, but you have to really like read this book that people have put online and made videos about regarding this, and it's fantastic.
If you want some good lore stuff, check out My Name Is Byf. That's B-Y-F. It's pronounced Byf.
He says my name is Byf.
So My Name Is Byf, his YouTube. He is one of the lore nerds from Destiny 1, where there's hours and hours of video, which is really interesting because it's not in-game, like Chris said. So like you'd have to either read it outside the game, or there's some really high-quality production videos from Byf on his YouTube. And he also helps explain the lore of Destiny 2, where it's lacking a little bit.
Yeah, one of the main things that he did from Destiny 1 was in the Taken King, there was the calcified fragments, which made up this book about the Hive and Oryx. And he had condensed those into a 3-part series about the Book of Sorrows, explaining, which basically the whole background of the Taken and Oryx and everything.
It's going to be a 5-part series, by the way.
Is it a 5-part? Wow.
Yes. Okay. 3 is not done. I watched those the other day. There's 4 and 5 are coming still.
And so I haven't watched the third one yet, but the first two had like illustrations and drawings and everything explaining, you know, in more detail about the Book of Sorrows, and it's fantastic. And he's done some on Destiny 2 so far with the Cabal, and he just did one on the Trials of 9, which if you're good at Trials and you think you're gonna be good at Trials, don't watch it, because you'll kind of get some information as you're doing it, but it's very interesting.
So on the whole, so far with what we've done, this is a much better game than Destiny 1 from where Destiny 1 started, right?
Mm-hmm.
Correct. I would agree.
My favorite review tagline so far is from Polygon, actually. Samit Sarkar, I believe is how you pronounce that, wrote a review for Destiny 2, and to sum it all up in one sentence is, it's Destiny 1 without the bullshit.
It's very good.
Completely accurate. Actually
very good.
There was a lot of bullshit in the first year from Destiny 1, and seemingly have learned from their mistakes, and I feel like the campaign's a little shorter than I wanted, and the final boss of the campaign could have been a little more difficult, I think.
He was pretty easy, but also, and I guess, I mean, in looking back in it, I kind of regret going with you on the last mission, but I was really excited to see your reactions to some things.
It's cool. The set pieces were amazing.
Yeah, the game itself is beautiful. It is fun. It is beautiful to play.
But when you are doing it yourself, it does make it a little bit more epic. But you had me and Dustin with you, which made it 1,000 times easier.
Yeah, you had already previously beaten it because you had a few days of go time before I did,
mm-hmm.
And it probably made it a little easier. But it was still good. Like in the like I said, the set piece that we were on that you fight on is gorgeous, and I mean he's actually like a good villain. I was a little disappointed that he went away that quickly, because the campaign's probably you can get through the campaign in 6-7 hours maybe.
I felt bad less. For him at towards the end of the missions.
Yeah, there is a lot of stuff that happened to him, like and that's a testament to the writing for this campaign, is like you feel something for the bad guy a little bit, and like there's character arcs, or a few character arcs and stuff like that. Like there's a lot of stuff, all of this, which is not anywhere remotely in the first year of Destiny 1.
But that's what they've done so well with this game. You know, in the first one, that was a lot of people's complaints, especially from our friends. Like, yeah, we got Destiny right away, played the vanilla game. There was nothing to do end game other than do the raid, but that got boring. We never had enough people to do it. You couldn't really follow the story. There was no story. Even though there was a story to Destiny 1, you just had to find it. At least with this one, you know, you know who your villain is. Like Chris said, they develop a story, even though it's shorter. And I agree with you, Adam. I feel like the campaign could have been a little bit longer. And I was hoping that the final boss would have been harder, because he dies very easily to me. But I'm excited for what they're gonna be, you know, doing forward. And if you beat the game, there is some end credit video,
which stay post credits. It's like it's like a Marvel movie. I think that's going to be all that stuff is going to be in Destiny 3 or at the very, very end of this game.
Right. So there is stuff coming that I'm excited for, but
have two expansions lined up right away. They're like the mini expansions, we'll say. There's Osiris in December, and then in spring, I would assume April, is something with we're guessing Rasputin because it's the war mind symbol.
That would make sense. And the other nice thing is, with after you do beat the campaign here, there are post campaign missions that you can still go on that are a lot tougher than the normal missions and give you more insight on things and set up. It helps set up what's going to be happening over the next few years with this game. Which was all, once again, I'm going to say this phrase a lot, and probably in the next 40 minutes or however long we go, was lacking from the first year of Destiny 1. Because once you hit endgame in Destiny 1, there's nothing to do until the next expansion.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. You ran strikes, or you played PvP, or you somehow got lucky enough to have 6 people to do the raid. But other than that, that was it.
That's the very nice thing also about this game is, a lot of our friends are playing it with us, which is great because in Destiny 1, a lot of us, without really playing together all that much because we weren't as good of friends, like this whole group we have, most of them also had Destiny 1 and then got done with it and like, well, this is dumb, and then gave up on it. And by the time, especially when Taken King came out and it seemingly fixed itself, they were too far gone to ever want to even try to get back into it and play with us.
Yeah, so now we try to get them to come back, and yeah, it left a sour taste in people's mouths,
which is completely understandable. It almost did for me and Dustin.
Yeah, but that's exactly what like games like The Division have done for me. I don't know. They keep updating it and stuff, and I feel exactly like some of our friends did. It's like, I don't really want to. I just don't want to go back to it. I just don't want to do it.
So
I'm glad now, I'm glad we stuck with Destiny 1, though.
Like, oh, absolutely.
But Adam, Adam and I took a long break from it. Like we've talked about it before. Like it was like a year.
And we didn't get until year 2.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. And it was too late for all those other guys. But now that everyone's quote unquote starting over with Destiny 2, we all came in together and starting at the same point, which is a huge factor. If you're listening and you haven't played Destiny 2 yet, go get it, play with us. Actually, like this raid is amazing, and
even our friend Alex, who is not a first person shooter player,
hates him.
He hates first person shooters. But he seems to enjoy this one because it has a lot of RPG elements. And I think the funniest thing the other day when he was playing, he was asking what strikes were. And I think Jeff or Dustin were trying to explain it to him, but I'm like, it's a WoW dungeon. And he goes, there we go. He goes, thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, he's slowly getting into it too. Like he and another buddy of ours are sharing a copy, so like he can't play all the time and level up as fast, but he'll get there eventually. And like it that's a good testament to how good the game is when you have a guy who hates first person shooters, loves RPGs, loves WoW, loves grinding. He loves Elder Scrolls Online.
Yes.
And he's just like, this game's fun. I like it a lot. And like, that's your brand marketing right there. If they knew who he was.
I don't know. I didn't know what mob or monster he was trying to explain, but he's like, what is this purple ball shit? Throw purple ball shit at me. And I'm like, what balls are you talking about?
I was like, that's a servitor.
He's talking about He's talking about a shrieker.
Yeah.
Oh, a shrieker. Okay.
And then Chris and I were like, yeah, imagine being in the first game where when you actually killed one of those, it exploded and homing rockets at you. Yeah. So these are actually easy compared to what we're used to. So I'm really liking this game. And like we just skimmed over PvP, but.
Well, that's what I was going to get into right now, is because we mentioned it, or I mentioned it either last episode or the episode before that during the beta when I did PvP and I wasn't so sure about it. I was really iffy. Like, I don't know if they changed some things behind the scenes or, like, I kind of want them to, like, part the kimono a little bit but and show us what they did. But I love PvP.
As somebody who was adamantly hating PvP in Destiny 1, and I'm pretty strong about that. I hated every part of it. I did it on Iron Banner.
But without letting everybody know constantly how much you hated it.
I'm like, let's Iron Banner. I mean, okay, I'm going to fucking hate every second of it. I apologize if I get angry because it was the only part of Destiny 1 that ever frustrated me, really. I really enjoy PvP. I don't know if you saw yesterday, but I've never done this really before. Like, you, Ben, and Jeff are playing, doing whatever, and I'm just like, all right, I'll just go do some quick plays. I've never done that before, ever. I'll just go PvP.
That should tell you a lot, too.
Yeah, and same with me. I mean, I didn't hate PvP from the first game like Chris. I hated Trials. That one I never had fun playing. But anytime we did Iron Banner, if we just did the Crucible, if we just did some sort of pickup game, I had fun. I mean, because I'm not bad at PvP. I enjoy PvE just a lot just more. Just
way to so much more.
Yeah, and that's the only difference. But other than Trials, which I loathe. I just hated doing Trials in the first one. I'm actually excited to try it in the new one because of the changes they've made.
Well, one of the big changes is, which I'm sure I stated whenever I talked about Destiny 2 beta PvP, they brought it down from a 6v6 to 4v4, which is a huge difference on just pure chaos alone. Yeah, it's
not a clusterfuck of people.
The time to kill has been extended, so you don't get dropped immediately. Well, that might change once raid weapons start getting introduced into PvP, but we'll see. and so, like, it encourages teaming up, team shotting, basically. Like, you and at least hopefully one other person can take somebody down relatively quickly. But it's just so much, I'm not going to say easier, but it's less just chaotic.
And it's just more fun. I don't know.
It seems smoother. It seems a lot more smooth with 4v4.
Yeah, and I mean, granted, when you still play with a couple randoms that we have, you know, you start playing something like Control where, you know, we've talked about it before. Right. Yeah, where you need to control A, B, or C. You know, there's still the idiots that want to go and try to grab them all, and it's like,
no,
we've talked about it before. It's like, we only need two. Just if hold you two. Have two, we win.
Yep.
100% of the time. So, like, I have found that, like, when we have a group of four of us playing, and the few times we've done that, I've had a blast, and I think we've dominated a lot of those games.
It's a lot more about communication this time around too. Granted, it's only been a week and a half, but I've been noticing there have been a lot of bugs and issues that need to get ironed out, hopefully soon. No weapons or armor dropping out of three different chests for us in the raid. A lot of desync issues with enemies where they're teleporting randomly all over the screen. Mm-hmm. So, like,
The nightfall problems we've had.
Running strikes, like, getting dropped all the time, or nightfall problems where you have to progress to, you know, the waypoint is go here. You go there and nothing happens, and you go past it and nothing happens, and then one of us gets randomly dropped, and then all of a sudden the game catches up with itself. There's a lot of issues they're having right now.
Those are the main problems I guess we have with the game. But again, like you said, since it's only been out maybe 11 days, I expect all of that to get fixed.
I would think so.
Whether how quickly it happens, I would think the server issues are going to be their number one priority.
Yeah.
And then after that, they'll start. Hopefully something like that will just fix the desync with the enemies where they teleport around, and, you know, the nightfall or the strikes and any of that stuff. We said it before that we started the raid yesterday. We were just like, well, I'm just hoping we don't have server issues because this is going to make this very frustrating.
Oh, that would have been ultra frustrating if it happened during the raid. Yeah. Thankfully, it didn't, other than just not getting loot. But none of these things are game breaking, thankfully, but they're increasingly annoying.
Yeah.
For me, anyway. Like, it's, I don't know. Like, especially with how smooth the beta went versus this. Granted, the influx of players for this is, I'm sure, a way, way higher than it was for the beta. So that's
Oh, yeah.
part of it. was gonna say, like, there's 13 of us in our clan that are constant, so far for the past week and a half, have been constantly playing.
Mm-hmm. We gotta talk to our buddy Josh. We gotta try to get their clan to merge with ours, because a lot of them do a lot of PvP and they're very good at it. And the fact that a lot of us are starting to get into PvP now too, the fact that we all do a lot of PvE stuff, I'm not sure how much they do, but I feel like combining the two and just reaping those clan XP rewards would be beneficial mm-hmm. for everybody. Plus, we got the better name and the recognition from, you know.
We are the Casper Van Deens, if that hasn't been brought up before.
Casper knows about us. He's liked our tweets, so.
Shout out to Casper Van Deen.
Yeah.
None of us know him personally, but we're just fans of his work.
We're Rico's Roughnecks.
Hey, man. But yeah, like the other really cool thing too is if you're in a clan and let's say you're not really in, you're all about PvP, you're not PvE orientated at all.
Brad.
Hey.
It's immediately who I thought of because of, sorry to jump ahead of you here, but like he's the only person I've ever seen play Destiny where he jumped in, started playing so much PvP that he almost maxed out his level without
pretty much got to the level cap without doing any.
Yeah, barely touching the campaign, and all of us were like, this is impressive. Like, yeah. You barely played the actual campaign, and you almost maxed out your level just PvP.
We were going to do strikes with him.
Yeah.
And it turns out, it's like, all right, let's do strikes. It's like, I can't launch it. And I was like, and the first thing I was like, Brad, how much of the story have you done? He goes, I think I got to Io.
No, you go, have you completed Io? And he goes, what's that?
Oh, that's true. He hadn't even got to Io. That's right.
And you're like, okay. All right, Brad, let's go. Let's do this real quick. And then we can do strikes because you haven't done enough of the story to unlock all of the game yet. Clearly, he doesn't care about the campaign. So we're just going to run
He's skipping the cutscenes he's never seen before. He goes, I don't care. Yep. I don't care. I'm like, okay.
So, if you're of the Brad mind and you're PvP orientated, but you're part of the clan and another different section of people in your clan go and complete the raid, everyone in the clan gets a legendary Engram raid loot.
Yeah, and it's raid gear
too. However, the caveat is, that's what I mean, like it's raid loot, like weapon or armor, like it's all from the raid. Even if you have never even been there or touched it, you will get a piece of raid gear. The caveat is, if you didn't actually complete it, but you get that Engram, it will drop at light level, or power level, sorry, 10.
I like that.
But you can infuse it super easy, and it's going to be really powerful in some way, so. Mm-hmm. So, like, even, like, if we have people who do trials and go flawless, we will all get a piece of trials gear drop for us, even if we never touch it.
And a keynote that it's not flawless. It's only 7 wins. So it's not a full flawless run.
Okay. So 7
out of 9. But 7 is still a lot.
That is quite hard.
That is a lot. But with the way we've been doing granted, Trials is a whole different animal. But the way we've been going in PvP so far with all the different games we've played, like, I think we have a shot.
Mm-hmm.
At least a little bit.
I think we have a better shot than what we did in Destiny 1.
I'm more willing to throw myself into the thrall that is Trials over and over again, because eventually I think we could get 7-0.
Well, and Adam, I don't know if you've mentioned this yet, but the actual light level or power level not mattering?
I haven't yet.
Yeah, that I think that's huge.
You want to explain that real quick?
Yeah, so like in the first Destiny, anytime you went to Trials, I mean, you generally play against the best of the best in PvP, generally. Now, your light level, your gear, however powerful you are, mattered when playing Trials. So a lot of times you'd run into, like the three of us, we would run into another squad of three that all they do is Trials. So they are just, like what Chris was saying, they had the best weapons, they had the best gear, they had the best Trials PvP outfit, and they would just destroy us. Now, having weapons and armor that all have the same stats technically, and having your power level not matter, it evens the playing field, and it more relies on your playing ability opposed to the gear that you have equipped.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. I mean, the type of guns you use are still going to matter, You know, like if sure. I'm using the Mida multi-tool and I'm very accurate at headshots, I'm going to do better than somebody else with the Mida multi-tool, you know. But if I'm just running at them with some random hand cannon, like they'll just destroy me. So it still kind of matters, but it's more you have to be good at least playing opposed to just being like carried through with somebody with insane gear.
With the rest of PvP so far, communication is at a premium.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, like, learning the maps, being able to communicate, and team-shotting people. That's how you're going to do well in PvP. And I now think we have a chance to start getting, like, trials gear and stuff like that because we can actually do better.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Which, I mean, it's because we weren't great in the first game, and so they had to level the playing field a lot more for people like us.
I think people got discouraged.
But yeah, it was completely discouraging.
I mean, even the one time that we in Destiny 1 where we're just like, let's just do it to finish some of these ticket like quests or bounties so that we can get gear. Even then, like when we didn't really care, mm-hmm. we still were like, fuck this.
Yeah. It's like I almost don't even want to do this just to get this.
Yeah, like we had quests for it to complete, not even win outright, like just complete matches or, you know, however many matches. And it's just like, we know we're not going to win. We know we're not going to get to the end of, if you go flawless, like we're not going to get to the special place and get special mm-hmm. loot. We know this. We're going to suck. And we did. And it was still really bad and frustrating and upsetting.
Yeah, because it's like that competitiveness comes out of us. It's like, we still want to win, even though we're not going to. And we're just doing this for whatever reason that we need to do this. But it's like, I just don't want to get destroyed every time. Like, it's just frustrating.
I will state that I don't think I'm going to really be PvPing much by myself anymore. But unless, like, what you, like, two or a majority of the team is, like, my clan or people I know. Because... like control, like the round robin situation, I hate that. It's so frustrating. Like, we need 2 points and everyone's going to get more, and I'm just like, that's the only part in PvP so far I've gotten frustrated, and it's like, why are you guys going for all these points? We just need to, you guys are causing us to lose. And I'm like, no, I'm good.
Yeah exactly. Control's the worst game out of all of them right now.
With that said though, if you haven't played Destiny And you've heard us talk about it, and you think that it's gonna be great, please do Destiny 2. You don't need to have played the first game; it's amazing.
Yeah, you'll be fine. It's a fun game. You're more than welcome to join our clan, the Casper Van Deens.
Please,
all are welcome. Just hit up Totally Not Adam on PSN or at that Adam guy 9787 on Twitter, and I can send you an invite.
You could also do the same thing for Dustin or myself.
You guys are admins,
of the clan.
Forgot
we can edge as well. Which helps.
So, yeah, join us.
I'll say, or Dustin can remove you.
Come play with us.
I never removed you.
Come play with us. All right. So I think we've ranted enough on Destiny 2. And that means it's time for the tweet corner.
Insert
jingle here. All right, we're gonna keep it short this week because Chris needs to go get drunk with his dad on Twisted Tea and watch the Bears lose.
It's not drunk. That Twisted Tea will not get me drunk even close to it.
So we got one tweet this week from our main man Jeffrey, which I don't have it pulled up, so one of you guys needs to do it.
I don't have it pulled up either.
So he would want to know how we would explain video games to a caveman, and if we needed help on that to watch documentary Encino Man.
So firstly, I need to watch Encino Man because I haven't watched it in probably about a decade.
Yeah, at least.
And I love that movie, even
still. I do too. I can still quote it even though I haven't seen it in probably a decade.
I really miss the buddy cop movies of Brendan Fraser and Pauly Shore.
I just miss Brendan Fraser.
I need to watch Airheads again too. Anyway, anywho, explaining a video game to a caveman.
I think it's like impossible. Almost like he's just gonna be moving pictures.
So you put cave painting, but moving like human, right? Mm-hmm. Then from cave painting, you hold object in hand, rock, funny rock thing in hand and press funny rock thing insert in spots and make cave painting do the thing.
Yeah, it's yeah, if he can even understand what you're saying, you know.
Well, that's why I did it that was my caveman voice. I don't
know. Oh, okay. Yeah. You take rock thing. Rock thing.
Press rock thing. Make man cave painting do thing.
Make thing. Painting.
I don't even know if I would try to verbally explain it to them. I would just have them sit down. I would load up my NES. What was that caveman game? The Caveman Olympics or...
I know Tomba for PlayStation 1.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, and also I don't know what you're talking about.
Caveman Olympics, something like that.
That sounds like it would be a Nintendo game.
It is. You had to fight each other with clubs, like on a platform, and knock one off. You had to, I'm pretty sure they had like you grabbed whatever your caveman wife and you spun them around and threw them like a
oh boy, that wouldn't go well.
Yeah, I mean, this game was made in the 1980s, I'm pretty sure.
They have a character named Gronk, literally.
Oh well, that's
did you look it up?
I did.
That's up your alley.
So I'm just saying, I that's the game I remember playing when I was little. So
that's a good intro, I think.
So you played that game when you were 16.
You know what? You know what? Fuck you, boner lips.
So I think that's a good intro for a caveman. You'd have to probably strap him down though, because he'd want to destroy everything. Once he saw the television turn on, might have to be a Clockwork Orange situation. We strap him down and pry his eyes open.
And make him watch Encino Man.
And then make him watch Encino Man while playing. Dual screens.
If I found a caveman and I had to explain video games to him, I wouldn't. I would sell him because
he's
out of his time. And I would make money.
I would sell him is what you just said.
A lot of people did try to do that. That didn't work out so well.
Yeah, Chris, that's illegal.
I put a VR headset on him.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
You just kill him. He'd have a heart attack.
No, I think that's really hard, honestly, you know,
honestly, if I saw a caveman around me, I would assume that they were bringing back the Geico commercials. Trying that again for some reason.
Like, didn't we go over this? Didn't you have a TV show that failed miserably?
Oh, God, they did. Jesus Christ, I forgot about that.
They did, yep.
The cavemen.
Ugh. They tried their best.
Well, I hope we appeased Jeffrey there, because I know you're listening.
Yeah, I hope so, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, why don't you tell us how you would describe a video game to a caveman?
And we'll, you know what, you tweet that to us, and we'll open up the next episode with it.
There you go.
That's a promise.
As always, if you want to be featured in Tweet Corner on our show, tweet at Come Get Your Podcast on Twitter. Or you can tweet us individually, which is, I've already mentioned it, that Adam Guy 9787.
At DusterRhymes42.
And at Myron.
Come get at us. Or you can also ask us questions on Facebook, which is at Come Get Your Podcast. Like, we're all there. We're
what? You know, I gotta correct you. It's at CGY Podcast.
Oh fuck, you're right. God damn it. Scratch that. At CGY Podcast. Ooh, sorry guys.
It's okay, baby.
Well, as always, we wrap up our episode with a shower thought. This week, it is brought to you by user isn'tthiswhere_ on Reddit. I avoid looking at intentionally loud cars driving by because that's what they want me to do. On that note, this has been Come Get Your Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I've been your host, Adam.
I've been Dustin.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.